I think we'll get started. The anticipation is just too much at this stage. So on behalf of the organizers of this workshop, I want to extend a very warm welcome to everybody. It's an amazing group of people that I think we've assembled here, and we're really excited about the events that we hope will take place this week. I'm just going to spend a few minutes taking care of a few bureaucratic and organizational matters, and then say a few words about what we hope this workshop represents. And then I'm going to hand over to Ron, who will tell you a little bit about scripts and introduce the session for tonight. So right at the beginning, I want to just thank the people who have made this workshop possible. As you imagine, a thing of this size with the number of meals and buses, etc., it takes quite a considerable amount of dollars to run. And we are very grateful for funding from the National Center for Research Resources and from the Aguron Institute, as well as from three of our industrial partners, FEI Company, Gatan, and Protochips, who have been both very generous in funding this workshop and to also send representatives to it. And I think this partnership between industry and research is terribly important, so we're very happy to have them. And then finally, Scripps has been extremely generous both in funding the workshop and in providing us with the enormous amount of infrastructure that it takes to organize something of this size. I really want to thank the instructors. It was amazing to me that everybody we asked to come and participate in this workshop said yes and has come at some stage, you know, huge distances. I know these are extremely busy people with a lot of demands on their time, so we're really grateful that they gave up their time and have come to participate in this. Some of the students have also agreed to give talks in some of the application sessions, and in general, it's quite an enormous amount of people contributing to the events here. A special thank to Lorraine, who has organized the 10,000 details around the workshop. You know, buses and food and bathrooms and supplies and all the rest of it. She's now well qualified to become a wedding planner, so it'd be very nice to her, because otherwise she might quit and do just that at the end of this. Who can help you if you need help during the week? Lorraine has a gold crown on her badge, and she's the first person you should go to for help. But anyone with a pale blue or a dark blue dot on their badge is also like a local or a volunteer or something, so go ask them for help, and they might be able to help you. Ron's going to explain this whole colored dot thing to you in his name. It's a bit beyond me. So you should have received a copy of the program. All the students should have a binder. Everybody should have a badge. Please wear your badges. You need it to eat or to catch a bus and all of that kind of thing. There will be handouts for the lectures every day as far as we can keep up with them. You should have handouts for both of the lectures today, I think. If you don't, come and ask us and we'll make sure you have them. We're still copying the first one. Okay, so there will be handouts for Richard's lecture at the end of the lecture. So I think that helps a lot. You don't have to take a million notes. You've got the notes right there, and you can rather focus on the lecture. The bathrooms are just around the corner. There's water in the corner of the room. There's more bathrooms upstairs, and there's vending machines upstairs if you need a snack or a drink or something like that. Anything else you can think of that you want, just ask us, and we'll try and accommodate. Okay, so with that out of the way, I just want to... David's putting me off my mark here. I just want to say a few words about what this workshop is and why we have it. This workshop is part of the training mission of the National Resource for Automated Molecular Microscopy. This is an NCRR-funded resource which has a number of activities, and one of them is training. During the first 5 years of our resource, our focus was on developing really a lot of infrastructure aimed towards developing, testing, and applying technology to completely automate the tasks required for cryo-electron microscopy. So as part of that mission, it was appropriate that we had a number of training workshops that dealt with very practical aspects of molecular microscopy. We had one in 2003 and one in 2005, and these were really a basic level workshop aimed at people who hadn't done cryo-EM before, trying to give them a grounding in both the practical and the theoretical aspects of cryo-EM. We've just been refunded, and the focus for the next 5 years of our resource is not only to continue developing this infrastructure, but really to apply it and try and optimize some of the aspects of cryo-electron microscopy. We're going to focus on grid and specimen preparation technology, optimal image acquisition, optimizing the quality of maps. So around those sort of issues of optimization are all these hard questions that the field has faced sometimes for, you know, 20, 30 years, some of these issues of what does limit map resolution, How do you take the perfect picture? Where are all these limitations and bottlenecks, and where are the problems? So around that mission, we decided to organize this workshop as an advanced workshop, more for people who are already practicing cryo-EM, and bring people together to try and discuss some of these matters. At the time when we were organizing it, we sent email to a lot of people and asked them for their opinion on the good idea of doing that workshop, as well as for suggestions. And we got a lot of really good suggestions from people, and the workshop has really been designed based on their input. One of the emails I got back was from Hua Chu, and I think he sort of really summarized exactly what we wanted to achieve from this workshop, which is to review the current state of the art in cryo-EM, to compare the pros and cons of the current approaches we're using, to generate new ideas, and then to design possible experiments to test new hypotheses. And that last one is very close to my heart. What I would like to come out of this workshop in part is not just a, you know, this one likes this and that one likes that, but what can we do to determine what the reality of those ideas are? What experiments could we design to say, let's go do that experiment, let's find out once and for all if it's this issue or that issue, so we can narrow down what it is that's limiting us and attack the really important problems. So with that in mind, this is the format of the course. We're going to have lectures in the morning and just after lunch to sort of anchor the ideas, to provide the state of the art, to discuss the pros and cons. Those lectures are at a very leisurely place. There is lots of time for questions, and we really encourage you to ask as many questions as come up to participate in those discussions, because that's really where we're going to sort of anchor the discussion. In the afternoon are some more practical aspects. We have people presenting some of the software packages or some of the methods for specimen preparation that are currently in use. Those will be more a sort of demonstration of hands-on techniques. In the past, we've had those as small hands-on sessions, but with 100 people, we can't possibly do that, so they're all going to be held in this room. But if you feel like you really want to see the software up close or the specimen preparation up close, just contact the people doing the presentation, and they can take small groups back and spend some time showing you the methods. Following that, there's going to be a long panel every afternoon. I think all of you have received some email from Ron, who's been organizing these panels. And we hope this is going to be one of the most important aspects of this workshop. That's when we're going to hash through some of these pros and cons, hash through some of these new ideas for testable hypotheses, et cetera, et cetera. So we encourage you to present questions for those panels, give them to Ron, give them to any of us, and we'll try and bring them up and really participate in those panels as much as possible. And then after the panels is a happy hour and poster session, so the participants can present their own work and get some discussion on their own work, then dinner, and then research talks in the evening. And the research talks are really designed to present the state of the art of what cryo-EM can do for you, the enormous biological advantages of using this methodology. And around all that, we hope lots of food, lots of drink, lots of conversation, because that's really the core of any good workshop, is lots of people talking to each other and exchanging ideas. So I think that's all I wanted to say. Oh, yeah, I was doing the photographs. We do a group photograph, and I was thinking, well, for this one, there's so many people. Maybe this one will just do, and we'll save ourselves the trouble of actually taking a photograph, because it seems like it's quite a big crowd this time. So are there any questions at this stage? Hopefully not. So I'm going to hand over to Ron, who will say a few words and then introduce the speakers tonight.
So, good evening. I'm kind of like the warm-up act for the speakers this evening. So, I was going to tell you what these colored dots mean. Well, the truth is that we actually don't have very many bathrooms in the building. So... So, if you're blue and male, there's a canyon outside. I have no clue what these colored dots mean. I don't think anyone does.
Lorraine.
Okay. Well, we'll get an explanation from Lorraine. All right. So, I was going to just take 5 minutes to give you a general introduction to where you are, a little bit about Scripps, a little bit about San Diego or La Jolla, and a little bit about the panels, and then introduce the speakers. So which computer am I on here? This one? Okay, so this is an aerial view of our location. We're roughly in this area here. That's our building right there. This is Scripps Hospital. Scripps Clinic is here, and I'll show you later where the various buildings are. This is Torrey Pines Golf Course. This here is UCSD. Salk is just a short walk in this direction. Your hotel is about there. Los Angeles is lost in the mist up there. And Tijuana is about 20 miles south. So if there's any free time, you can play golf, or there's actually a nude beach right there. And the sun is actually quite strong in November, so be very careful. Okay, so someone got that. So it is San Diego, and it looks like paradise, but we have some traumatic events as well. And 4 years ago, just before the first course, there was a terrible fire, and this is one of the photographs that was taken off the fire at the time, and this was actually about 3 or 4 miles from my house. And it was really quite a frightening time 4 years ago. There were a lot of houses that were lost. And then at the course 2 years ago, we had mudslides, and I actually don't have a picture of the mudslides. And then a month ago, just before this course, we had a road collapse in La Jolla. And I thought this is my, you know, picture for the course, you know, the road collapse. I think this was actually caused by the people uphill overwatering their lawns. But then a couple of weeks ago, yes, we had our fires yet again. And these are just some pictures that I culled from the local newspaper. This, in fact, these two cul-de-sacs are really quite interesting. First of all, they're quite close to Bridget's house. This house survived. And this house obviously didn't, and it's not quite clear to anyone why the fire chose these particular houses to single out and destroy. So Bridget evacuated very sensibly, as did Liz and a number of other people, and Bridget and Liz were sleeping in my basement for a few days with children and pets. And Bridget went out one day for a cup of coffee, and she came back and she said, "Oh, I just read this article in the New York Times about the fires, and Qualcomm Stadium is about half a mile down the road from us, and there were a lot of evacuees in Qualcomm Stadium." And she said, "You know, it says in the New York Times that traumatized people in Qualcomm Stadium are being treated to free Starbucks, massages, and reflexology." She said, we're leaving. We're going to Qualcomm." But actually, it's no joking matter. It was very serious, and these are just a few of the pictures from the newspapers. I just thought I'd add this one for two reasons, just to show you that this is the downtown San Diego in the midst of a storm, just to show you that we do, in fact, have some real weather in San Diego. That's the first point. And the second point is that this was taken by one of our graduate students who's a very accomplished photographer, and I think he'll be speaking later in the course. Okay, back to the Torrey Pines Mesa. These arrows identify all the Scripps buildings, and as I said, this one is here. So I want to tell you something, a little bit about Scripps, and then a little bit about Symbio, where you are here. So the Scripps Research Institute has 254 faculty. Some of you will know that the main campus is here in California, and we have a sort of satellite campus in Florida, which is considerably smaller than ours, but has plans to grow to probably not quite as big as the California campus, but appreciably bigger than it is at present. So a total of 254 faculty, 823 postdocs, again distributed between California and Florida, about 1,700 lab technicians, admin, and support personnel. And we have a very active PhD program, which was started about 15 years ago, I think, by the late Bernie Galula. And his vision was to make this into an institution somewhat like Rockefeller. And the students have really enriched the environment here tremendously. We take in about 15 to 20 students in the sort of biology program every year, and about 20 to 25 students in the chemistry program. But it's a very interdisciplinary program. And there are probably 20 or 25 students attending. And I think they have purple badges. Is that correct? You can identify them. Anyway. So We're organized in a number of different departments, biochemistry, cell biology, chemistry. These are really administrative units. Some departments have particular buildings. Some departments are spread out in a number of different buildings, which I think adds to the sort of collaborative nature of the research that goes on here. Something about the budget. We bring in, through NIH grants, $230 million in 2006. From other federal agencies, about $8.5 million. From other organizations and philanthropy, $72 million. The total research budget is for 2006 was $311 million. We are the largest private nonprofit research institute in the United States. This building is the Center for Integrative Molecular Biosciences, SymBio, and it was brought together about 5 years ago. And there are a number of different disciplines in it: chemistry, cell and molecular biology, light microscopy, EM, of course, X-ray crystallography, computational modeling, and technology development. And the sort of idea behind SymBio is explained on this slide, which is part of the hierarchy of biological complexity. So right at the sort of what one can imagine to be the simplest level are the genomic sequences, and you know, there's been a tremendous amount of work done there, sequencing lots of different genomes. The next stage up is single proteins and nucleic acids, and that's where structural genomics really focuses, getting the structures of individual proteins. The next sort of level of complexity up is where these proteins come together into macromolecular machines, and the next stage, molecular and cellular dynamics. So what we're interested in this building is, you know, the sort of structure and function of these macromolecular machines and how they are organized in space and time in the cell. So that's the idea behind this building, and that is what the electron, the EM people here in this building sort of focus on. I'd like to just read you one quote here. It's from Richard Feynman in a very famous lecture he gave in 1959 called There's Plenty of Room at the Bottom. And one of the things he said at the time was, he was talking about biology and all the sort of open questions that were, and he said, it's very easy to answer many of these fundamental biological questions. You just look at the thing. Make the microscope 100 times more powerful, and many problems of biology will be made very much easier. I exaggerate, of course, but the biologists would surely be very thankful to you. So I think the physicists have done their part of this, and the EM manufacturers are to be thanked for that, and there are some of them here today. So what we're going to focus on for the next few days is the sort of biological response to this. You know, what, how are we going to bring this to fruition? As Bridget said, every day there will be a panel discussion, and I'm chairing a lot of the different panels. So these are very open, and I encourage you to participate in them as actively as possible. We've identified a couple of people for each of the panels to sort of stand up and give 5 or 10 minute presentations, which can be provocative or which can be just something new and exciting. And they'll be the sort of basis for the discussion. But as the workshop progresses, I would encourage you to write out some questions and give them to me or give them to Bridget or Clint. And I will bring these up in the panels for discussion. Ken Downing is going to chair the one on instrumentation on Tuesday. And the final one on Thursday, I've left it open. It hasn't been organized yet, so I think there'll be lots of opportunities to answer your questions. Okay, so the opening session tonight is very important. I just want to say that, you know, for the attendees, this is really incredible. I mean, everyone who's anyone in this field is here to lecture to you. And you know, many of these people invented this field. And it's really amazing to have them all together in this room for the next few days. So tonight, Richard is going to tell us, you know, where we're headed. And David is going to tell us how we're going to get there. And Richard? That was the deal. So, is there So, by way of, I was going to make this long introduction and explain who these people. Is there anyone in this room who doesn't know who these people are? Because if there were anyone, you're in the wrong room. Okay, Richard, can I just hand over to you?